Oh, I'd like to also, at this point, we're short a member. I'd like to assign Larry Bradley as a member of this committee for today.
Cornacle?
Please.
Bradley?
Here.
Constance?
Here.
McCormick?
Here. Adoption of the agenda?
So moved.
Pick it at each, Jim.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So carries. We approve. Roll call.
Sure, Thompson?
We can't do ayes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Proof of publication of the meeting is, I have that here. Presentation of the Papio NRD's Affirmative Action Program, Tracy Thompson. Thank you.
Good afternoon, directors. Today is our annual review of the district's Affirmative Action Program for 2024. It's all the tasks we've done this year. Each year in December, Baird Home Legal Counsel and district staff review the program and tasks required to remain in compliance with the federal requirements as set forth by the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs. It's part of DOL. The reason the district is required to have an affirmative action program in place is because we are a recipient of more than $50,000 in federal dollars, and we have more than 50 employees. So as a brief informational presentation, the following actions are annual tasks that were completed by staff to meet federal requirements. And board action is not required since this program is governed by federal statute. So one of the first things we do in the year is we send a memorandum to subcontractors and suppliers, to contractors that do more than $5,000 in business with us. And this states that the contractor or subcontractor will abide by regulations that prohibit discrimination against qualified individuals, if applicable, if they fall into those parameters of the statute. So this year, as compared to last year, I always wonder how many we're going to get back and who reads their mail. So this year we got a 67% return rate. Last year we got 55%. The year before that was 50%. So I thought that was a pretty good year. We are required to post all equal opportunity and employee rights posters in all district offices, and I review those about twice a year to make sure we're, because when they change the posters, we don't always know about it until you look it up online. And then twice a year, January and June or July, I send a letter to management regarding affirmative action obligations to all Papio NRD managers. And what this does is remind all the managers when there's a job opening, you have to be very cognizant of equal opportunity for all people with no discrimination. The other thing we send out in the summer is the VETS 4212. It's the Federal Contractor Veterans Employment Report. This is where we track all the employees, all the new hires, whether they're a veteran, who our existing veterans are. The year is, it crosses calendar years, so it goes August 1st to July 31st, which is why it's 23 to 24. And then our certification of affirmative action programs was submitted to DOL and the Contractor Compliance Office. We do that every year. And we continue, and as far as our jobs are concerned, we continue to advertise all our positions in Nebraska Works, which is the state of Nebraska Job Service, basically, Nebraska Voc Rehab, our district website, which we get a lot of hits on that website. That's probably where the majority of our people come from. The NARD website, and in the local newspaper of whatever community where the job is, whether it's Dakota, Walt Hill, Omaha, Blair, there's lots of options there. We also advertise on the third-party services that service colleges. They all have a third-party website posting. You could go to one site, post for about five different colleges. So in the areas, depending on where it is, I use that service too. So moving on to attachment one, or table one, if you scroll, Bill, or Solomon. So the Papio NRD, we employ 52 full-time, one temporary full-time, and two seasonal employees. So in 2024, our personnel actions, we had one promotion within the district. We had two job transfers within the district, which were fairly lateral. We had one termination, and we had 7 new hires from outside the district, which included 5 existing full-time positions and 2 new full-time positions. And we have 1 seasonal part-time position. We only hired 1 seasonal this year. Next year, hopefully, we'll get, or this year, we hope to get 2. So also worth noting is our hiring benchmark for protected veterans. The current hiring benchmark standard, it's always been around 5%, and according to the evaluation this year, our rate for veteran hire promotion was 9.1%. And we had 4 veterans employed by the district over the course of 2024. So in a nutshell, that's what we do to stay in compliance with our affirmative action program. And if you have any questions, I'm sure we can find an answer.
Anyone have questions?
Larry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tracy, I was wanting to know, does the district require new employees or current employees to perhaps go through a video training for sexual harassment?
No, we don't.
Okay, because it's required, I know, certain for state level and federal level, and I was just wondering why if we...
The district has periodic training similar to that. I believe they did have a harassment training this last year in 2023.
Okay, 2023. Okay. Well, just wanted to make sure if we can include that in the future in some form or fashion. Thank you.
That would probably be an in-house decision by management, since it's not part of the requirements that we're doing to stay in compliance with the federal affirmative action program.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Tracy. Very good.
Thank you.
I'm adjourned.
Okay, thanks. Program Projects and Operations Subcommittee meeting, January 7, 2025. Roll call.
Easer?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
And Chairman?
Here. Item number 1, Notification of Open Meetings Act. I know it's already been read. I'll read it again. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to returning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and we ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you very much. Number three. Quorum call?
We did.
Okay.
Adoption of agenda.
Adoption of agenda.
Second.
Item number 5.
Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Item number 5, proof of publication of meeting notice. We have that, and we'll make that as part of the permanent record. Item number 6, presentation of the PAP UNRD. Well, is that me? No, that's Tim. I'm sorry.
No. FEMA.
Number 6,
FEMA. Swift Current Grant Program Agreement with Puritan Manufacturing. Lori?
Good afternoon. One of the federal grant programs that we use quite often is a group of programs through FEMA called the Hazard Mitigation Assistance Programs. There are 3 main grants under that. The BRIC grant, which we are currently using on WP4, the HMGP, which is available after declared disaster, and the Flood Mitigation Grant Program, or FMA. Within that, there is a new program called Swift Current, and this is funds that are designated at the state level, or given to the state through FEMA. It is not a nationally competitive grant. Those funds are, have a very limited applicability. We can only use them for structures who have been designated as repetitive loss, meaning they receive multiple flood insurance claims over a period of time, or were substantially damaged as a result of a declared disaster. And so with the storms that we had this year, the state received $10 million available to help these properties. And so the state kind of put together a list of properties that would be eligible for these, and one of those properties is Puritan Manufacturing here in Omaha. They are just southwest of Carter Lake on Gray Street. Can you go to the map, please? Next one, please. So this is about a 10-acre commercial site. They do metal fabrication work here, and they see quite a bit of flooding, not as a result of riverine flooding on the Missouri River, but through local drainage. And so this property has been designated as repetitive loss, meaning that they have had several insurance claims over the past, 38 years that the current owner has been there. And they are interested in trying to do some work. They've done some improvements on their own that they've paid for out of pocket, but this grant would allow them to have 90% federal funds to do a larger, more comprehensive floodproofing project. And so the agreement that we have for you today is to act as the grant sponsor for Puritan Manufacturing. FEMA does not allow individual property owners to apply for grants. It has to come through a government agency. And so we would do that. However, Puritan Manufacturing would provide the 10% local share that is required in matching funds here. Puritan has estimated losses in about the $2 million range just from localized flooding. Their two largest events were 2011 and 2018, they had some issues. There was a 6-inch rain, and just this May, they also received the high water marks were about the same as they received in 2018. We're still kind of developing the project itself. We don't know exactly how much that would cost, but again, the only cost to the district will be my time. I can answer any questions that you have about the agreement or the program. The grant application is due January 21st, and we started working on this on December 21st, so there's still a lot of details to be worked out. But this is just the overall structure in place to allow us to apply for the grant funds.
Thanks, Lori. We can have a motion on this item.
So moved. Staff recommendation.
Motion and a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Jim?
So is there an estimate of what this would cost?
Not right now. We're still kind of working on what that total cost would be. And it's a very complicated facility. If you go back and look at the aerial photograph and the photographs that were provided of the site from overhead, they've had multiple additions on that building from 1920 all the way up until, I believe, the 1970s. So it's a really complicated site. We think that it's going to be a combination of kind of wet floodproofing some areas to allow water to pass through and not damage anything, and dry floodproofing other areas where their really high dollar equipment is, because it can't be moved. Apparently, these machines are very, very heavy and require a special foundation, so it's not like just moving something. So right now our ballpark figure is between $3 and $5 million total.
Oh.
Yeah. And again, that is a ballpark pulled out of the air. Mm-hmm. We're still working with DNR on if they'll even award that amount to a single project. We'll figure it out in the next 2 weeks.
The recommendation is a proposed agreement, which It's online, I assume. It's not here, part of our package. So where's the agreement? Is there no agreement?
It's in.
Is that being developed?
Yes.
Okay, so how can I approve an agreement that I don't know what it is?
The terms, material terms are in the staff memo, the 90%, 10% cost share, the indemnity. We just don't have the feedback yet on the drafts. Make it finalized.
So the 10%, and by the way, just as when I asked Amanda to stand at the microphone, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and whatever you say in the audience does not come across on the website. So for future reference, I'm sorry, Mr. General Counsel, but we get used to this. But anyways, for the future, accept the microphone. So, okay, the 10%, though, that's our cost or Puritan's cost?
Puritan's cost.
There's no cost to the district.
So you're asking me to approve a bunch of money for federal money for a plan that's not in front of me.
We don't even know what the plan is yet.
Unfortunately, like I said, we started this project on December 21st. That is when we were notified that the city of Omaha was not going to do this. And so it was either miss out on all that money or try to pull this together as quickly as possible. And the grant application is due before our next board meeting, so we're working as fast as we can to get those details.
Why wouldn't the city of Omaha get involved? It's a drainage issue of the streets and sewage.
I can't speak to
that. I mean, we traditionally don't get involved in the sewage situation with metropolitan cities like Omaha.
I can't speak to their decision there.
A lot of things, Jim, we're typically capable of doing things others are not, and so they look to us to do this. If you guys don't want to do it, then you'll save Lori a bunch of time and Puritan will miss out. I mean, it's one or the other. I mean,
which is a compliment to us that we can do jobs the city can't. I understand that, but this has set a nasty precedent as part of my concern, especially this area. I mean, one of the other businesses down there, they had flooding issues. The one company is dumping dirt and they put in bigger sewers on their property, and this apparently is Puritan's a victim of, somewhat of a victim of that.
Yeah, and I don't know the full history of everything that has happened in this area. All that this grant opportunity is based on is the fact that Puritan has flood insurance through the National Flood Insurance Program, and they have had repeated claims. Other businesses around here have not, so they aren't eligible for this program. They may still deal with the flooding issues, but I've never been contacted specifically by anyone here.
Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah, we're basically just approving this because for your time, the 10% is going to come from Puritan. The rest of the cost is going to come from the grant. So we're basically just approving to say, hey, we move forward on this. We think it's a good project. We're willing to have you take the time to do this and do the administration of it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yes.
To anybody else? Or is this all very local around them?
It would be very local around them.
I guess, is there a risk to the NRD?
Other than your time?
That's really it.
We have no other.
There's no financial risk, and if something goes wrong with the grant or the project, we're not at risk or anything for that.
Back to us once the dollar amount might be known?
It'll
the way this resolution is, go with it, then we'll find out someday we spent $4 million.
No, so we would have to follow NRD purchasing policy. So once if the grant is approved, we would have to hire an engineering firm. An engineering firm.
We would have to?
Yes. So we would be the contracting agency. Again, that would be
they're paying it.
Paid for by FEMA and Puritan Manufacturing.
Right. There's no way we can spend any money on this. It's 90% federal, 10% them. We cannot legally spend a dime on this.
It's not a project that...
As far as the...
Project itself, just with our staff.
Any other questions?
I mean, we can come back and report, Jim, if it does go through and just say, hey, this materialized and this, I mean, we can definitely send it to everybody to let you know. And this is the agreement if you want to see it. But we can't meet the deadline of the grant and have you approve it after the fact.
Okay, but next year there's another grant cycle. Is this it?
Who knows?
No, these fundings are only available when a state has a federally declared disaster. And they're not always even given at that point in time. So this funding pot is not guaranteed ever.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman of the PPO. Do you know what type of product Puritan Manufacturing produces?
They do metal fabrication work. And I have not personally seen their products, but I've heard that it is like outdoor art. Very, very expensive. The pieces that were there last week were headed down to Texas for something else. They sell products all over the world. That's all I know is metal fabrication.
Okay. And because I was wondering a little bit if the railroad tracks adjacent still moves product in and out from this business. And, you know, a North Omaha business can probably use the help. And
yeah, I'm not sure. Some of the railroads are abandoned in that area and some are active. And I couldn't tell you which ones because there's, when we looked at the map, there's like 12 different lines adjacent to that project, that property.
I see. And then I guess if it even makes the full board for Thursday, I just, say that perhaps a North Omaha business here could, North Omaha downtown business could probably use the help with their flood problems. That's all I have to say.
Any other questions?
I'd just like to comment that I've worked with Puritan many times. They're, since 1927, they've been a manufacturer of specialty steel fabrication. Anything you need made, they can make. They do a lot of high-end stuff. It seems to me the flooding issue, and commend you for your hard work at getting this all done so quickly. I think it's a worthwhile project we should pursue. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, and I concur with that. I guess my one concern would be about why the city of Omaha didn't want to take this on, but I'm assuming it's just that we probably have more expertise in managing these kind of grants and stuff like that, but there's no financial risk to the district at all, so I'm comfortable with that.
The FEMA grant process is not fun, and John can attest to how much I complain about it. So because even if the city had agreed, we only would have had about 3 more weeks lead time. So like the beginning of December, we heard from Puritan, they were interested. The city kind of looked over the requirements. They don't have anybody who is familiar with the grant program system online, who has written a grant like this before. So I think, some of that played into their decision. I don't know really what that was, but I know it would have been a struggle for them to get that done. But again, I can't speak to their decision-making process. They are supportive of the project, though.
Okay, thank you.
Roll call.
Keyser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Item number 7, Thurston County Rural Water Tower Painting Bids, Justin Novak. Justin.
Good evening, directors, and welcome new directors. I hope you're enjoying the first board meeting tonight and many more to go. So I'm Justin Novak, project manager for the Rural Water Systems for some of you new people here. So tonight I'm presenting, we opened bids for our Thurston County Rural Water Tower. We've had this system in operation since 1980. It was repainted once in 2002, and now the tower is due to be repainted again. After our last sanitary survey with NDE, they recommend that we probably get it done here in the next couple of years to prevent, anytime you get rusting or anything, that happens inside the tank or outside the tank and lead to premature failure. So I went ahead and put together, I bid this project out myself, so I don't have an engineer's recommendation or an estimate of cost, but I still think these bids came in fairly low. I think Director Storm can attest to this from his experience. We opened bids on December 27th, right between the New Year's and the Christmas time. It was just the timing that worked out, but I was pretty happy to get four bids from four good companies. McGuire Iron came in low bid at $92,500, which was far below my expected price for repainting. So basically it consists of sandblasting the inside of the tower, priming, two coating that, and then power washing and spot treat the rust on the exterior, and then two coating that as well. So all things considered, for a 110-foot water tower and repainting the entire thing, $92,500, I thought was a pretty good price. McGuire Iron actually did the water tower for City of Blair here about a year and a half ago now, and obviously well recommended. They do a lot of this work in our region, and so their expectation is to probably start sometime in August, September, which is perfect for us as far as timing of water usage with our system. So really couldn't be more pleased with the bids we got. And if you know much about the Thurston County Rural Water System, we don't have a lot of money. So this really, really, really helps with our system. So obviously something that we have to get done. And so here we are. So we're going to move forward with it.
Thanks, Lark. We can have a motion on this item.
So move.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Yeah.
When I first read this, and I know, I think you just answered it. It said multiple coats, have you put out specified?
Yes.
In contract. So there's a prime and two coats. That's your definition, Mark? That's what's in the specs?
Correct. Yes, sir. Okay. So it's a little different for interior and exterior, but yes.
Okay. Correct. And for sure, the entire interior will be prime and two coats.
It'll be sandblasted prior as well.
Of course.
Yep.
But then here you say the exterior and, spot treated from rust and multiple coats of paint. That's the entire water tower?
Yes, sir.
Yep, so they'll spot and then they'll go over it, prime it, two finish coats?
So they'll spot prime it, and then it'll be just two coats on top of that. So the priming on the interior needs to be done because you're taking it down to bare metal. So that has to have a primer coat. The exterior where you take it down on the rust spots will be primed, spot primed essentially.
Just the rust spots.
Spot primed and then two coats on top of that.
Okay.
And we had the paint tested. It came back negative for the lead, which was a huge cost savings for us. Anytime you got to do lead remediation on a water tower, it can get very expensive because you have to encapsulate the entire tower. So that was a very fortunate thing for us on that one.
So. Now, secondly or thirdly,
yes, sir.
This has lettering on it, and is lettering in a part of this?
So it's going to be, I'll say, very generic lettering. It won't be as pretty as the Blair Water Tower. It's just going to be black letters that say Papio NRD.
Why are we shorting ourselves?
Because it's $10,000. The Thurston County Rural Water System doesn't have a lot of money, so I didn't want to spend an exorbitant amount of money for something that's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's not near a highway. It's literally on a dead-end gravel road.
Ooh, so. Big decal that has this thing on?
Yeah.
No, if we,
sticker. All right,
thank you.
We'll put some stickers on it.
Put a sticker on it.
I'm going to go up there and write it.
Thank you.
Just would it be prudent to have some inspection of the paint, the mill thickness and...
So that was part of the discussion we had, is going to have the contractor actually do some mill thickness and testing and prove that to us as well. So we're going to have some self-inspection with the contractor. Now we do
no independent.
We didn't really want to spend a lot of that money on the engineering side. But working with Nemec Paint, they actually give you the mill specs for each coat, which is what's been great. I've had a great resource with Nemec Paint that's helped me through all this. So you actually have the mill specs from them. And that's all included in the bid packet as well. So it's basically just a little.
It just takes someone with a gauge to go
just
in there.
A little spectrometer.
And do it.
Yeah, and just do that, take some pictures.
And you'll be in there.
Yeah. I thought about climbing up there. You come with me, Tim. We'll go.
I will. How's that? In there.
Maybe you guys can paint it while you're up there.
We'll do the NRD logo.
There we go. We can do the.
How bad is the rust?
It's not bad at all. It's just a little exterior spot rust. We had an inspection done, I think in 21 or 22. We had the interior. We actually had a scuba diver go in and inspect the interior. Interior is in actually pretty good shape. Not a lot of coating failure or anything like that. It's just starting to get some surface rust, and if you get on that stuff right away, you won't have a problem. But, you know, with rust, it's like your truck. You let it go too long. But it's mainly on, I'll say, on the pillars is where most of the rust is. It's not on the tank itself.
Okay. Any other questions?
Can I just ask, where in Thurston County is it?
So Pender, and I probably should have included a map, especially for, so you know where Pender, Nebraska is? It's just northeast of town, about 5 miles. Okay. Yeah, I'm right in the middle of nowhere. So I can actually bring a map to show you guys next on Thursday if you'd like.
No more questions? Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye.
Thank you, Directors.
Thank you.
Item number 8, Sorensen to Girard Trail Construction Bids. Eric?
Good afternoon, everyone. Excuse me. This is the Sorensen to Girard Trail, or the Girard Connection, east from 72nd Street, along our former railroad corridor. We've talked about this project a few times in the past. This is this was put out for a construction bid in December, and we received very strong bidding interest, 9 total bids. 6 of them were below the engineer's estimate, which was a conservative number. It was actually adjusted down just before the bidding from previous plans, and then the bids still came in below that. So strong interest from contractors for trail work right now. This is the second trail project we've bid, and we have another one going out tomorrow because we're seeing such strong interest to keep projects moving forward. There's a map on the second page. 72nd Street on the left side, former railroad corridor runs along the north side of Emmanuel Hospital and up to Girard Street. So when constructed, this will be pretty similar to the Field Club Trail. It's kind of sloped down on the sides. Currently a lot of trees out there. The trees will be cleared. A little bit of drainage work at the bottom. There was not a creek in this area, so it's not similar to the other trails that are parallel to a creek, but we do need to carry away local water from the area for the trail construction for when it is converted to a trail to make sure that it's a pleasant space for the trail users. Starts at the top of the hill on 72nd Street, runs down along the corridor and up to Girard Street. There's only one parcel here. There's an interlocal for the hospital to transfer that to the city of Omaha. When the project is completed, the city of Omaha will take over the ownership, operations, and maintenance of the project. And as you can see on the west side, kind of down by the letter A, that's climbing up the hill, so there will be a retaining wall that accommodates the future extension of this trail to an underpass under 72nd Street, and then continuing west to connect down to Sorensen Street and eventually over to the Keystone Trail in the future. So the Girard connection is from 72nd to the east. The future project would be under 72nd and to the west, and we'll talk about that in the property item that's on the next subcommittee. For now, the recommendation is to award the construction contract to Navarro, or NL&L, in the amount of $919,522.70. There is a letter of recommendation from EGA. The primary engineer and design firm is FHU. EGA was a sub to them on bidding services and construction administration, so EGA wrote the letter of recommendation after reviewing the documents. We have worked with Navarro on previous projects, most recently Beltline Phase 2 in Adams Park. They do a good job on the concrete flat work, and so we're glad to be working with them again. We look forward to moving this project forward to tree clearing initially and then construction in the spring, and looking forward to having it done by the fall of 2025. Glad to answer any questions that we have.
Move staff recommendation.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Yes. Assuming this will pass, I'm really pleased, and the people in that neighborhood will be quite pleased as well. So, and that map you shown, there used to be a little deer corridor back and forth through there, but they still go through there.
Yeah, there's some nice natural area around the corridor. It's kind of secluded, so it will be a nice natural space that has been underutilized since, as far as I can tell, about the mid-80s when the railroad went out of service. 72nd Street was constructed from 2-lane to 4-lane, so that future underpass will reopen where the railroad used to go under 72nd Street again back in the 80s. I don't remember that personally, but I'm looking forward to getting there eventually.
And real quick, I think it's the next another item. When will the underpass construction start?
So this project is being carried out locally. The underpass and the connection to the west has federal funding through MAPA for 80% of the overall project. As soon as this gets to construction, we will initiate the federal project with NDOT. We will select a designer and begin that work in 2025. It's probably two and a half years of design based on the timeline it takes to get through the environmental review with NDOT. So I would expect maybe 2028 construction on the underpass and connection to the west side. In order to prepare for that, we are designing this portion locally and carrying that out. And the next committee will talk about the property rights. That is another step to streamline or shorten the timeline for the underpass project. We did the acquisition of the property rights prior to the federal aid project. That'll cut about a year off the timeline with NDOT.
Any other questions?
Jim has one. Fred.
So the desire to have economies of scale, to have one contractor do the west of set, that's gone because it's going to take too many years. This trail will be done before we get to that.
Correct. And the scope of the federal aid project, the idea with federal aid project is get something that's expensive and narrow in scope without property rights, which is what we've done on the last two bridge federal aid projects. Those can be done in about that three-year design timeline. Otherwise, they drag for 5, 8, 10, 12 years. And so we decided to separate out the expensive portion. The underpass will be expensive, but we get a significant portion of that funding from the federal aid portion. So it'll be about, I think, $1.8 million is specified from the federal aid, leaving only 20% local for the remaining portion of that project. So it's a good deal for the local agencies to get the expensive underpass portion in that project rather than doing it all at once, much cheaper overall.
As a lot of our trails end up, when you're heading west on this trail, you come to 72nd, you bump your head on a sign that says don't go any further.
From the map, there is a...
more generally, it's going to terminate there at 72nd.
Right.
For a couple years.
And there is a sidewalk on the east side of 72nd. It's not visible in the street map, but yes.
Okay.
And then the hospital is actually very excited for both their employees and potentially some of their patients to go out and have an area for some natural recreation. And I think the sidewalk continues up to Girard on 72nd, and then there is a crossing over 72nd to the west side into the residential neighborhood. Okay. So in the intervening time, you will be able to use the trail here. There's no sidewalk on Girard to the east. So you could come off of Girard Street, follow the trail down, back up 72nd, and then continue west until the trail underpass is constructed in about 3 or 4 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? We can have a motion on this item.
We did.
Roll call.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. And that completes my report.
We'll call the meeting of the FEL subcommittee to order. Notification of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the rear of the room. Quorum call.
Bracy?
Here.
Conley?
I'm leaving, so.
Oh, you're leaving. Mm-hmm. Okay. Davidson?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
Chairman?
Nope. Here. Adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Okay. Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Item 5, proof of publication, the meeting notice. I have it before me. Moving on to item 6, building maintenance, Blair account 01014630-401, over 110%. Can't you get shorter numbers?
I wish I didn't have to come up here for this one, Director Teaser. Unfortunately, here I am. So this fiscal year, we budgeted $65,000 for the maintenance for our Blair office, which most of you guys know where that is. Unfortunately, we've had some large issues with the HVAC system up there, as you guys know. A lot of it is fairly complicated. We have a geothermal system with 9 heat pumps, and so it's a very complex system that has a control. Originally, the control masters. It's an online digital platform that controls all your thermostats and everything else. This was originally installed in 2010, so here we are in 2025, 15 years later, and we are now seeing the effects of antiquated software, hardware, and the lack of communication from the previous control masters that installed it. So we are not able to actually get online and manipulate our HVAC system to do anything.
working with Randy Lee, who's very experienced here in the Chalco office when it comes to these kinds of issues. He kind of guided me along the way. And so the Alberio is the control system here at the Chalco office, and Drexel Mechanical is also the HVAC contractor here. We had them come up, do an assessment of our system, and obviously we're essentially, I'll say, an almost complete failure with where our control system was and to where the HVAC system needs to be. They did a review of our geothermal glycol system. There's a lot of contaminants in it, so we need to actually flush and redo all the glycol system. We've already started the process of replacing all of, basically all of the thermostatic controls on all of the heat pumps. It's a very complex process, but unfortunately it was something that I did not foresee, nor did anybody else, but it's in the tune of about $75,000 to get all of this done. And so we've started beginning this process, obviously working with General Manager Winkler on this. So what we are asking for is to go over the 110%, and then our budget, it would be a maximum of $140,000. Essentially, that just pays for repairs that are needed, but it would still give us the allocation of $65,000 that we need on a normal year for day-to-day maintenance and things that go on in the office. So unfortunately, it's just a, you don't find out the weaknesses of your system until it's too late, and that's in the wintertime. And so here we are. We're trying to scramble, get this thing working. I think people are happy that, especially, you know, we have a lot of federal employees in our in that office. So we do get a lot of feedback from the feds, and they're very happy to see that the NRD is kind of being proactive on getting this done. And so a lot of positive feedback on that end. So I think that's, I think Winkler appreciates that as well. So
less calls.
Yes, sir.
So you can't change the temperature in there right now?
Can't change a thing in it right now.
I vote yes.
The original company is basically gone.
They're gone. Yeah.
There's no one left to talk to.
Yeah. And you can't get online to do anything. You can't go over to the wall and change anything. I mean, you're just basically stuck with the system. Yeah.
What's the temperature set on right now? Is it 58 or 72?
Well, depends on which way the wind's blowing, I can tell you that. You know, it's done fairly well as far as transitioning from AC to heat. It's not something you really think about or notice until somebody points it out to you. And so, you know, as we've kind of gotten into this talking with Randy Lee, he was asking me questions that I couldn't answer, you know, because we're just like, well, it always runs. I don't know, you know. And so we, you know, I remember years ago we had a tough time getting into the system, and then we tried reaching out to this control masters day in and day out. We could never get a hold of them. We come to find out they basically went belly up. And as you know, working with any kind of computer program or software, it's all part, it's basically preferred. It's just their own equipment, so you can't go use the same stuff that's 15 years old and expect a new company to use it, so you have to replace it all. So it's 15 years. I think we're just kind of at that turning point. We need a lot of maintenance on it. So
can I please get a motion on the floor? Or you got a, then we'll go to questions.
So moved. Second.
Okay.
We had that already, I think. Okay. Are you going to put in a manual override or go back to a simple system, or are you going to go back to have this proprietary control system?
So it'll still be a proprietary controls with Alberio, which is the same system we use here. It's what we did with the security system a year ago. We're basically fully integrated now with the Omaha office. So Marty Nissen can control it from here. I can control it. Kalani, whomever it may be, we'll be able to have the same system across the board. And so I think that works best for us long term, that we're all using the same thing, doing the same thing. But yeah, you got to pick the worst of the best, I guess. I don't know, because it's, you got about four companies out there that provide the operation. You know, Control Masters was one, Alberio was one, there's another company, but it just made sense that we integrate to the same thing that we're using here. And so, yeah, we thought that was the best answer going forward.
And we've had great luck with Alberio and Drexel.
Yeah.
What's that?
We've had both great luck with both of those.
Right, I'm just curious as to why there's not a manual override.
Yeah. I think it's just so everybody doesn't walk by and keep pushing the button.
Well, this would be locked into a utility closet or, you know, something you could do from.
And maybe there was with Control Masters. We didn't know.
You might ask a question.
You know, a lot of the older generation from that setup is gone now. So, so hopefully, like you said, Director McCormick, we'll have some sort of maybe a master control system or something that's actually functional. But I know that we'll be able to get in and control it. You just don't want to leave the wall thermostats open because then you get the
I understand that, but not that somebody on the
Internet is in control.
We'll look for the doomsday button.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that's included this time. How's that?
That's all I have.
How did debris contaminate the system? And where in the system?
Geothermal is kind of this foreign item that I don't know a lot about, but they, when they have the screens that plug up in the heat pumps, and it's just, they call it organic matter. Basically, over time, there's organic matter that develops in there. I don't necessarily call it rust.
Well, the continuing maintenance of this, did we not maintain it in the last 15 years?
I hired companies to come out every year, and they would add glycol, do the maintenance, but you're trusting what people are telling you. And we get Drexel in there now, and they go, yeah, this isn't right. So we got rid of the other company that was doing
so
it.
So who would oversee that? Well, I mean, before your time. But
well, so there's always been kind of, I'm trusting what the mechanical contractor.
It's fine to install this. We built it. I was on the board when we built the building. Yeah. So yeah. Director Teaser, is this 15 years long enough?
Yeah.
You know, my house is almost 100 years old. I've replaced air conditioning a couple times. But
we've replaced a lot of stuff.
Do you have coal still?
Yeah. Well, I do have a cold sheet.
And I know through the years, like, we had Getchman, they would come out, we had leaks in the system, they'd repair them.
You're missing my point.
Yeah.
We own the building. Do we depend 100% on outside people to come in when we call them? Or is there a routine maintenance that our staff should be doing? And that's more rhetorical than, I'm not pointing the finger, but if debris is getting in there, should be cleaned out once a year. I mean, don't we have someone that can, as part of their job, to do that? Or are you contracting that maintenance out?
So to date, we've always contracted that out. And now that's what's kind of nice working with this Drexel is I'm learning a lot. So we're looking at putting in inline filters, things that I can look at and maintain, something that I could go over and unscrew and help clean out. A lot of this stuff is fairly complex, and it's way outside of my skill set. But we have relied on contractors to guide us down the road, and unfortunately, maybe some of it hasn't been the best guidance. So that's why we're trying a new contract.
As an organization, we maintain what we can professionally, and then there's certain systems that we don't touch because we shouldn't touch them, because we don't have the training or the expertise, or you void warranties when you mess with equipment that you don't have the proper certifications of. Yeah.
If you know, leaves and twigs are getting in someplace that someone didn't power wash out.
Well, I think things like that are, you know, with the geothermal system, though, you're probably getting some contamination from the actual system that's under the ground.
Yeah.
That's probably some of the things, too, that's causing that we need to get. We can't.
20 years since we built that. Rain garden on top, the green thing, is that still active?
Unfortunately, it's not.
It went away.
Well, the reason was we had about 10 leaks in the roof. It caused massive leaking in the roof, so we actually had to remove that after one of the hailstorms to get the roof repaired.
For those directors know what I'm talking about, when we built this, let's have a green building, and green space dirt on top of buildings was popular. So that lasted how long? I mean, I'm sorry, I've not been up there to visit.
Well, come on up, Jim. I'll give you a tour.
I'd like to come up and the next tour. But so that went away relatively quick.
I would say that was probably 3 or 4 years ago that went away. When we were having leaks all across the front of the roof. You can't pick it up and repair it. You have to repair all that membrane. So unfortunately, we had to make the hard decision of removing it.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. All right.
Thank God we didn't pay for reference. Thank God we didn't pay for the LEED certification.
Any further comments?
And we're Craig Mighty's going up there.
No other comments? Roll call.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you, directors.
Thank you. Item 7, Papio Trail System Land Rights Account. Here we go again. 01064430-261 over 110%. How you doing, Eric?
Yep, good to see you all again. The second page is a map. As we mentioned earlier, this is one parcel of land that was planned for acquisition when we did budgeting back in April and May of 2024. At the time, we were in earlier phases of design for the project that we are recommending construction award on the east side of 72nd. We were not anticipating moving as quickly on the land rights here. In driving by this site, there was a sign on the site advertising the property publicly listed for sale. So we began the process of seeking the acquisition of that parcel to avoid the risk of it being acquired by someone else who might cost us additional funds, knowing that we might want it in the future. So we had budgeted money for land rights acquisition into fiscal year 2025. At the time, we had put $40,000 in that account. During the early portion of the acquisition process, we had an appraisal done. The seller brought the price on the parcel down to the appraised value, which is significantly lower than they had originally posted it for sale. And we did recommend that for acquisition, and the board approved that in November. The purchase price was approximately $55,000 with additional expenses included. That was, again, the appraised price. That is more than the $40,000 that we had included in the budget originally. So that puts the account over 110%. So the request is to authorize the account to exceed the budget amount up to $55,000. We do not have any additional land rights expected in fiscal year 2025. This was the only purchase we were anticipating. So that should be the end of the work under this account for this year.
Here we go. Motion, please.
I move for staff recommendation.
Second.
Any directors wish to comment? Seeing none, roll call.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. I'd like to get a motion to go into executive session on WP1 project surplus
so
land
moved.
Sale, City
Second.
Of Omaha. Roll call.
Excuse me, Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Full board at that point.
Yeah, full board, yeah.
Can I get a motion to go back into regular session, please?
So moved.
Yeah, I mean, yes, second.
Roll call.
Excuse me. McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes.
And the time is 5:31.
Sorry to draw that out. No, that's, I mean, it's a good conversation.
This way we can draw it out.
Can I get a motion on the floor, please?
I'll move with staff recommendation.
Second.
Discussion from the directors? I think we've had enough. Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Abstain.
And Chairman?
Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our agenda. We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. I gotta go.